Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Wednesday afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, about 75 degrees. It's nice. And it's going to be really chilly overnight. No, it really is, like 40 degrees. I'm telling you, it's cold. That's officially cold, isn't it? 40, 45 degrees? I think so. There is a new database which is available from the Do No Harm medical folks. Medical watchdogs, Do No Harm, first of its kind national database, which is cataloging pediatric sex change services. Yep. Talking about sex change surgeries, sex reassignment surgeries, cross-sex hormones, and puberty blockers at U.S.-based medical facilities. About 14,000 minors underwent sex change treatments. Almost 6,000 minors received sex change surgeries. Now, it's a very polite way of saying that body parts were removed, right? That's what we're talking about. About 63,000 got sex hormones for the opposite sex, as well as puberty blocker hormones. It's insane. I mean, it really is. It's just insane at this point. $120 million submitted to insurance. Oh, well, that's what this is all about. I'm sorry. It is. This is about a money-making operation. It's probably the reason that the whole sex change thing, the sex change surgeries and medications for kids over in the UK and in Scandinavia are now being dialed back, because they're not making money on it. Right? The NHS can't be charging people because they're, at least in theory, free. And since it's now costing them a boatload of money, and they now realize it's not doing anything except injuring children, they've decided to shut it down. Now, that hasn't happened here in the United States, of course. Here in the United States, it seems to be a growth industry because there's so much money to be made. Because insurance companies, unfortunately, are going along with this nonsense. That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. But you have doctors who are willing to trade their Hippocratic oaths for a couple of bucks. Well, anyway, I'll share that with you. Again, it comes from the Do No Harm group, and they've got a new website out there. And I think that it will be very, very, very interesting. All right. Hurricane Milton is the serious, real deal. And it is troubling to me to see someone who wants to be president of the United States, at least in theory she wants to be president of the United States, trying to make political hay out of it. We've got hurting people in the United States of America right now. And this is one of those things that comes into play. If Kamala Harris were really serious when she said, well, I called Ron DeSantis and he wouldn't take my phone call, and I wanted to talk about FEMA and all the rest of this stuff, and Ron DeSantis said, well, number one, she didn't actually call me. Number two, she doesn't have anything to do with FEMA. If she were really serious about that, and I will tell you, I do not think she is a serious person. I don't think she's stupid. I know people keep telling me that, Jeff, she's just so dumb. I don't think she's dumb, but I don't think she's serious. I think you can be really smart and not be serious. So I don't think she's a serious person. If she were a serious person, wouldn't she be doing something to help the victims of Hurricane Helene and the soon-to-be victims of Hurricane Milton, as opposed to hanging out with Howard Stern and Stephen Colbert? If you were a serious person, you would focus your attention in a different direction. You take a look at how governors in Florida and Virginia are dealing with the devastation that their citizens have seen as a result of Hurricane Helene. I don't know if you follow Governor Youngkin or any of his top-level cabinet members. If you do, then you have seen that they have been to Southwest Virginia time and time and time and time again.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Again, trying to help the people who have been impacted by Hurricane Helene. I have, quite frankly, lost count of the number of times that Governor Youngkin and his highest level senior staffers and cabinet members have been down there to Southwest Virginia. They are serious people. I look at Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis and his high-level senior staffers and cabinet members have been dealing with the people who were impacted by Hurricane Helene. Now they've had to turn from repair efforts and helping those who had been struck by Helene. Now they're dealing with this Hurricane Milton bearing down on them. Where is North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper? North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has not been seen in Western North Carolina. He has, by all accounts, been slow walking all of the aid for Western North Carolina. And the consensus seems to be that it's happening because Western North Carolina is conservative and it is Republican and it is a strong base of votes for Donald Trump. How sad is that? Where is Kamala Harris? Well, again, she's with Howard Stern and she's with Stephen Colbert. And she's saying stupid things. And I'm trying to figure out, as 804 asks me here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, was Kamala Harris more cringeworthy on Howard Stern or on Stephen Colbert? That's a good question. Because they were both pretty cringeworthy. Well, heck, she was actually cringeworthy over on The View. These are all her friends, by the way. These are all people who, for whatever reason, have thrown their lot in with her. They have talked about how much they despise Donald Trump. And they're all on board doing everything possible to boost her campaign, support her campaign, get people to vote for her. And even in those environments, she somehow, some way manages to screw it all up. That takes an incredible amount of effort. Another text here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, she sounds like a jilted psycho stalker when she says that Ron DeSantis wasn't taking her calls. A little bit. Let me share some of this with you, because I would imagine, because you are a serious person, you have serious things to do, you weren't paying that much attention to it. But take a listen. This is a little bit of Kamala Harris on with Howard Stern, cut number three.
I want to say to the people who support him, well, what are you not hearing? Are you not hearing that we had a bill to solve this big problem? You're all afraid of this. Understood. We understand that. I hear these interviews with people who are voting in the other direction, and I don't understand. There's no, it's all chaos. It doesn't make any sense to me. Speaking about being a district attorney and a prosecutor, I'm curious about that phase of your life.
Okay.
So you go to law school,
mm-hmm.
and really it's sort of against all odds, but what's fascinating to me is you get out of law school and you get a job as a, you know, a prosecutor.
Yeah. In Alameda County. The seat is Oakland, California.
And what is it? What prepares you to go? In other words, at first, I assume you go in front of a jury.
Yeah.
And they give you some kind of easy case, I'm hoping. Like maybe...
You start with DUIs usually.
DUIs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you a wreck the first time out of law school and you go in front of a real jury, in front of a real judge, and you have to prosecute, even though it's a DUI? What is that moment like for you?
So I started by actually... The first case I actually prosecuted was when I was a certified law clerk. So... I won the case, but the great thing about, you know, just pushing people out when they're young, they don't know any better.
You weren't nervous?
I was nervous and I was probably overprepared, but I believed in my case. And, you know, the great thing about being a prosecutor, and I've talked with many prosecutors over the years all over the country, is you only got one job, which is to do the right thing.
Right.
And so you have to believe in your case. And frankly, if you don't believe in your case, you shouldn't be bringing your case, right?
Okay. So what was the case? Like, don't you remember your first blank, whatever it is, your first major success? I mean, if this in fact is her first major success in the DA's office, well, you would think she would say, oh, I prosecuted such and such a case. Now she tells you, you start with DUIs. Maybe that's what she meant, that it was a DUI case. But she's also peddling this idea, and we've heard it time and time again. She's like, no, I'm the only prosecutor on this stage. I was prosecuting transnational criminal organizations. No, you weren't. I can guarantee you, sure as I'm sitting here, you absolutely, positively were not. You weren't prosecuting them as a district attorney in San Francisco, and you sure as hell were not prosecuting them as an ADA in Alameda County. Now, if you wanted to tell me that you went to work for the U.S. Attorney's Office somewhere, then I would say, well, maybe you were involved in that. Transnational criminal organizations are not getting prosecuted on the local level like that. They're just not. Sorry, facts just really get in the way of your whole narrative. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app